The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Mariana. I am the co-founder of Summer Fridays and host of the Life with Mariana podcast. This episode is with Monique Rodriguez. She's the founder and CEO of Mayel, and I actually found their product a few years ago. And I was looking and I saw all these people posting about their amazing results with her hair oil. And so I was like, okay, I have to use this for myself. And so many people use this. The results are amazing. And that's why the business is so great. It's really built on products that work. And I learned so much from Monique. I actually heard her speak at an event, and I've seen her at so many events since then. And she just has the best energy. And I'm so happy for her and her company's success. There are so many lessons to learn here. If you feel like you're stuck in a job, or maybe you followed a career path that someone told you to do and wasn't what you wanted to do yourself, this is a really good lesson of following your dreams and goals and going after something and how it can work out for the best. If you guys want to learn from Monique, keep listening. And before that, I want to get into this week's live update. I had a busy week this week. I was kind of all over the place. So I had some meetings in LA, which were great, and started working on Q3 of next year for L'Academy, which I'm really excited about some pieces that are to come. It's been really fun now actually having it out into the world with the first collection, because I can see feedback and pieces that you guys are liking, so we know what to work on in the future. After that, we hosted a Girls Inc. Los Angeles lunch in Los Angeles for International Women's Day, and it was so sweet to be able to do this. We co-hosted it together with Risa. She's the chief brand officer of Revolve, and we did it in support of Girls Inc., and we wanted to raise money for this amazing cause. They're really all about helping the girls of Los Angeles to be strong, smart, and bold, and helping them through so many programs, and we had somebody there who was talking about the work that she's done with a little girl who didn't really feel confident. She couldn't even look up and look people in the eyes, and she ended up putting together a business plan and pitching it. And the fact that she felt so confident to be able to do it was because of a program like this. And instilling those values in young girls really are lifelong lessons to give them confidence to succeed as adults. And so I'm so proud that Summer Fridays is partnering with Girls Inc., not just for International Women's Day, but now ongoing. And so hopefully there's more to come there of more things I can share with you about Girls Inc. It was a really inspiring way to kick off International Women's Day and Women's History Month. And I go to a lot of lunches and events and dinners, as being a creator. And a lot of times you go, you sit down, you chat with the people next to you, and then you leave. But for this lunch, we wanted to make it something interactive. And so we put some questions on the table and had people get up and answer them. And people were there like Anastasia, who created Anastasia Beverly Hills. And we had estheticians and podcast hosts and brand founders from fashion and beauty. And it was so inspiring to hear, you know, women's thoughts about being a woman and being a girl and who impacted their life. And my mom even got on the microphone and was like, I'm so proud of you girls. Just like, keep going. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, that was so sweet, because she loves seeing from afar what all my friends and I are doing. And so it was a really great lunch and left me feeling inspired and happy and motivated. And then I went to San Francisco because we do our annual Market Week meeting with Sephora, which is us presenting 2025 or the year beyond that products that we're working on. So we go through all of our finalized formulas and packaging and our marketing plans and everything. And we talk about the success or things that worked or didn't work from the year prior. And that happened to be on Summer Friday's 6th anniversary. I can't believe that we are in 6 years of launching this brand. And I know I talked about it last week about my love language being gift giving, and creating something and putting it out into the world is my gift to you. And hearing that it impacted your life in a positive way, it's given you the confidence from using a product. It makes you feel good. It inspires or helps you or motivates you or makes you feel part of a community. Like, that means so much to me. And so thank you for allowing me to be doing this for the last 6 years since we launched the company. And so with our anniversary, we had our birthday cake lip butter balm, which sold out, which is so crazy. But we launched the brand with Jet Lag Mask, and it was recently named one of the greatest skincare products of all time from Women's Wear Daily. If you guys haven't used it yet, it really is a product that does it all. It comes in mini and full size. You can have a mini in your bag, but you can use it as a mask, a moisturizer, an overnight mask, eye cream, hand cream, and it even has the National Eczema Seal of Acceptance. So if you have dry skin or if you have eczema patches, it's really amazing to use on those. So it went through a lot of rigorous testing through the Eczema Association to get the seal. It's also non-comedogenic and fragrance-free. So everyone from my friends who have kids, they use it on their kids, on themselves. My dad uses it, who's in his 80s. So it's really a versatile product for so many people. It's one of those things that does it all. So I would love if you guys would give it a try if you haven't yet. And coming up soon, we're doing something really fun and exciting in Los Angeles. So in the coming weeks, I will share the information with you. Either follow me on Instagram or Summer Fridays to see those updates, because we would love to see you guys there. So now let's get into the episode with Monique. I cannot wait for you guys to learn from her. She is so inspiring, and hopefully you guys get a chance to try her products and brand as well, because the products really work. And now let's hear from Monique. I would love to hear from you how the brand came to be.
So growing up, I've always had this love and passion for the beauty and hair space. I was just always obsessed with like women's hair, and I would literally look at another lady and just like recreate her hairstyle in my head, because that's just an obsession that I've always had. Growing up, I didn't see women, especially Black women, that were running and operating businesses. What I saw were Black women that were on the covers of magazines, or their faces were plastered across, you know, the relaxer kits or any type of like hair kits that was sold to us growing up. And so my aspiration at that time was, I want to be on a billboard, or I want to be on one of the relaxer kits. That was what I saw. So that's what I thought I could be. And the notion of kids can't be what they don't see was very real for me. I grew up in a very traditional home environment where my mom was very strict on going to school, getting an education, going to college, and her career path, which she thought that I should take, was to become a registered nurse. And so she always encouraged that in me, like, you know, you can be a nurse, you can go the medical route, you'll always have a job, it's recession proof. And so that always played over and over in my head. And even though I had these dreams and aspirations of wanting to be in the beauty space, my mom looked at it as a once in a lifetime opportunity. It wasn't realistic to her. And so she always tried to redirect me into going the more traditional route, because her mindset, and no, nothing against this, was I have to teach my daughter how to survive when she graduates college and she has to deal with the real world. So I was a good student, good kid, finished my nursing degree, and I started working as a labor and delivery nurse. And I did that for 8 years. And I knew the first time that I stepped on the labor and delivery floor that this was not something that I wanted to do for my entire life. When you have that entrepreneurial bug, when you have that dream, that passion, it never goes away until you act on it, until you fulfill it, because you will always feel unfulfilled in your role. And that's how I was feeling.
I totally resonate with your story, because my mom was the same way. When I told her the things I wanted to do as an adult, she was like, well, you need a realistic job, so why don't you do this other job? Because this is what I think the real world is like. And I was like, no, mom, I really want to do this. But I think now that you are a mother too, it's like you can instill these values in your own children and say like, okay, I believe in you, and like whatever it is that you want to accomplish.
Oh, absolutely. And probably sometimes I'm a little overboard, because my kids, they say like, you know, they have an idea of what they want to do. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do to figure out how to make this happen? So I'm probably like overly excited when they have new ideas and new passions, because I know how it feels to not have that gift nurtured. So I'm really big on that with my kids. So I worked as a nurse for 8 years, and I went through a very tragic experience with the loss of my son in 2013. I became pregnant with, he was our third child. And unfortunately, I had a high risk pregnancy. And because of that high risk, my son, he passed away shortly after birth. And when life events and things that are tragic like that happen to you, it really forces you to kind of like do a lot of self-reflecting and really soul searching. Because number one, for me, you know, I was asking God, like, why did this happen to me? But I had to change my narrative of asking, why did it happen to me? And ask God, like, what am I supposed to learn from this? I don't know why it happened. I felt like I did everything perfect and everything that I was supposed to do. And I mean, I was a labor and delivery nurse. So for that to happen, it was very devastating to me. And I knew that me going through that was for, number one, me to develop a very spiritual, personal relationship with God, because I felt like I was living this life and really didn't have any guidance and direction. And I had to search for guidance and direction from that higher power, and that's God. And number two, once I decided to devote my life spiritually to God, and, you know, my husband and I, we got saved at the same church together. And that's when I had the vision to go on social media and to talk about my passion, and that was hair. So it wasn't to create this brand that you see. I literally wanted to go on there and just use social media. It was Instagram at the time, as a creative outlet to express myself and to talk about my love for hair, because that took my mind off of what I was going through with the recent loss of my son. And so that in turn allowed my gifts to continue to make room for me, because women started gravitating towards me. They started following me. I started then making different mixtures and concoctions from my kitchen with like natural ingredients such as like honey and avocado. And I will make these different like concoctions and experiments and put it on my hair and talk about it on social media. And then that turned to women now becoming more intrigued, and they started asking questions. And then they started asking to buy the concoctions and the mixtures that I was making. And that for me was the light bulb moment where I said, I really think that what I'm doing, if I take it serious, it can probably go somewhere, because people are asking to buy something from me. And granted, before my EO, before even my nursing career, because I've always had that entrepreneurial bug, I tried to do a lot of different things like Mary Kay. I tried to sell Avon. I tried to sell Scentsy candles. I was really big on the direct sales, and everything that I did from a direct sales piece, nothing ever sold. I never could sell a lipstick for that case. But when women started asking to buy these homemade mixtures that I was making, I was like, wow, like, maybe I can take this serious. And I told my husband, and he was super supportive. And I said, I'm going to start with one product, because I didn't have a lot of resources, didn't have a lot of money. Launched a website, found my website designer on Instagram, found a graphic designer on Instagram. It was no formal business plan. And I said, I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to see where it goes and, you know, just launch, because I feel like this is what I'm called to do. And the day that I launched, which was May 23rd of 2014, the one product that I had, it sold like crazy. Whereas I thought I had at least 6 months worth of inventory based off of what I purchased. But I literally like went through all of the inventory that I had purchased. And it wasn't a lot. It was probably like maybe 100 bottles. But I went through everything like literally the same day. And I was scratching my head trying to figure out, now how do I replenish? Because I wasn't expecting to sell out so fast. But God always found a way to make it work. And, you know, the rest is history. And here I am almost 10 years later, and we are the number one Black female-led, Black founded brand in the world. So
go you. I am so proud of you. It's such an incredible story. And I got a chance to meet you for the first time, like almost a year ago now. And I heard you speak, mm-hmm. and I was so amazed by you, your story, but not only that, just like your energy and being around you. And I can tell how passionate you are about the brand and the products, and it really comes through.
So you might have heard recently that I announced I'm the creative director of L'Academy, a brand sold at Revolve. And I'm so excited for this role. I actually started working on this last year, and now that it's like out in the world, I'm so excited because I can finally post and share about it. And ever since it launched, first of all, you guys sold out so many pieces on the site so fast, but there are so many things that we're working towards. And the reason why I love Revolve is they have so many amazing things on the site. They've got 500 brands. They have everything from high-end and emerging and exclusive labels in fashion, beauty, and home goods. And they always have so many things that are really like the most trendy things of the moment, but they also have authentic, high-quality products that you want to wear for years to come, which is really what I'm thinking about when I was creating the new pieces for L'Academy. They have new arrivals daily, which is really like my favorite way to shop. I just go to new in and then I'm like, okay, what came? Like, what can I shop through? And then they always have curated edits and collections. So I'm going on vacation, and going through a vacation shop just makes it easier to like sort through a site. So I have everything for like specific things that I need, especially like by color. And what I love is their amazing customer service. If you guys have ever shopped from there, it is so fast, and they have free shipping and returns. From last minute trips to event dressing and seasonal refreshes, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and hassle-free returns on all of them. So go to revolve.com/Mariana today. Shop my top picks for the season. And don't forget to check out the festival edit while you're at it. It just dropped and it is so good. That's revolve.com revolve.com/Mariana, revolve.com/MARIANNA. And I'm always updating my favorites on there with so many things that I think you guys will love for seasons to come. And don't forget to shop all of my pieces at L'Academy because they are so good. And I can't wait to show you what's coming soon.
So what was this first product that you came out with?
So our first product was our mint almond oil. And we still have that oil today. It still sells and it's still a top seller. And I wanted to start with an oil because, again, I didn't have a lot of money and resources and the formulation was not that complex. It was something that was a more simpler formulation that was affordable for me at the time. And I was really big on like scalp care and I'm still really big. Like that's the foundation of healthy hair. So we really focus a lot on how to maintain a healthy scalp. So that's how I started the brand, really focused on like the hair follicles and how do we supply the hair follicles with like nutrients to like really nourish the hair so the hair can sprout and grow. And so the mint almond oil, it has peppermint, it has almond oil. Almond is really good with like proteins. Peppermint is really good with increasing scalp circulation and increasing the follicles to produce growth. So I wanted to focus on something that I knew worked just from my research and something that was a simple formulation, but I knew that as a CEO of a brand, you know, that you can have great marketing. And I felt like I had great marketing that was probably like an innate thing for me. It came natural to me, even though I didn't go to school for that. But I was really focused on building community. But if you have a product that's not a great product, no matter how big your community is, no matter how much you market, if the product doesn't work, they're not going to come back for more. So I was really big on like the quality of it and, you know, making sure that the ingredients worked. And that's what continued the community to grow. And people came back to continue to purchase because they trusted the fact that, you know, I'm a registered nurse. They trusted the fact that I understood the science behind the human anatomy, how the hair grows. I understood ingredients. I understood the chemistry component. And I really talked about that. And I provided a lot of education, which is what a lot of brands were not doing at that time. And women related to that. And so they, once they actually brought the product, they tried it and they liked it. And they're like, oh, and now we trust her too. And she's an authoritative figure in this space. Oh, we're going to really come back and buy more. And we're going to tell our friends about it. So for me, that was the best word of mouth marketing, was just having a great product and building that community.
Word of mouth is how I heard about it. So I tried first the rosemary mint scalp and hair oil.
Yes.
And I saw so many people's before and afters and they're like, this is so amazing. Like, and then I bought it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. It was a really easy buy for me and it made a really big difference. And so that's the product that I started with from the brand. And it was like, I saw the education online. I saw people's before and afters and I saw real women saying like, these are my results. And I loved to see it on TikTok.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. It's an amazing product.
And then I know a lot of people are really nervous when they're starting a company. I know you mentioned you didn't have a business plan, but were you nervous? And if so, how did you get over any of those fears?
So I would say, you know, of course I was nervous because, you know, I was going into like foreign territory, you know, coming from a registered nurse and going into the business world is totally different. Like I was used to taking care of patients and, you know, working as directed, right, from the doctors. When you are a CEO of a company or when you've founded a brand, like there's no one that's giving you direction. You literally have to figure things out for yourselves. And then to really have that faith and trust myself and trust my instinct to leave my nursing job and really just give 1,000% of my time, effort, and energy to building my L, like people literally thought I was crazy. Like they thought my husband was crazy because he had a stable job too. He was an engineer at UPS. And I remember when he eventually left, like all of his, you know, coworkers were like, you're leaving stability and your 401k to go sell shampoo. So to have like the doubters and the naysayers in your ear telling you that you're making a wrong decision can also add to that nervousness and that fear. But for us, it was like, how can we be courageous? And for me, courageous means like doing it despite being fearful. Doing it even if you are afraid, because yes, I was afraid, but I still stepped out and I still did it anyway. And I'm glad that I didn't listen to other people because I wouldn't be where I'm at if I would have listened to what those people had said back then.
That's very quotable, to do it without, despite being fearful, because it's okay to have fear. It's okay to be nervous to try something. A lot of the greatest things come from times that we're nervous about it, but it shouldn't stop you.
Absolutely.
And I see your husband with you a lot of times. I know I met him with you the first time, and I love that he is so supportive of you. And I know a lot of times, especially as women in business, we might feel like, okay, it's maybe our partner isn't as supportive of you. Like, what are some of the best things that he's done or ways that he's supported you or encouraged you along this entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, so it's great, number one, working with my spouse. I would say that, you know, do we always agree? Do we always get along? Absolutely not. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But for us, we always focus on the bigger picture. What is the bigger goal? And for us, it is continuing on the legacy and providing our kids with opportunities, resources, networks, and connections and wealth that they can have the freedom and flexibility to do whatever it is that they're passionate about and to continue on being a philanthropist and giving back to the community, because your dream and your passions is not about you. I feel like when God blesses you, he blesses you to be a blessing to others, because there are so many people that are assigned to your purpose and your destiny that if you're not obedient to that calling, you're letting down all the people who are assigned to you that you don't even know about yet. So when we really focus on taking ourselves out of the equation and looking at what is the bigger purpose, and the bigger purpose is serving others, you know, that makes all of our problems and disagreements so small, because we probably argue about some of the stupidest, smallest things. And, you know, why let that get in the way of something that we're building that's so great and so wonderful and that's inspiring so many? So sometimes you have to take your ego out of it. Sometimes you have to be willing to compromise and say, you know what, I was wrong, you were right. How do we work through this? And communication is big for us. And so we like to make sure that we're always communicating our feelings and, you know, making sure that each other is being heard and acknowledging those feelings. And number one, keeping God first, because that's our foundation. So literally, like, when we focus on that, the bigger picture, that's what keeps us grounded. That's what keeps us sane and from ripping each other's heads off when we do have those disagreements. Because we know that we have something very special and something that's so unique that hasn't been done in our community. And so that's what keeps us going, you know, despite, and, you know, we respect each other's skill sets. Like Melvin and I, we have two totally opposite skill sets. And I think, you know, it's important to be self-aware and be aware of your strengths, your weaknesses, and whoever you complement yourself with, whether it's your spouse or, you know, your business partner. Like, you all should complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. And that's what we also do very well. So I'm more of, you know, product innovation. I'm very visual. I'm more of the creative. I'm more on the PR, like out in the public, the face of the brand and connecting with people. And he's really big on the operations, the back end, the accounting, you know, finance. And, you know, he deals a lot with the manufacturers and making sure that, you know, we have great cost of goods. So he does a lot of the back end work. And, you know, it just works because both of those skill sets complement each other.
You mentioned when you started the brand, you made this one product, you put it on the site, it sold out. At what point did you say, okay, you guys looked at each other and you're like, it's time to really start growing the team, invest in the future of the company and like where we know it can go?
Yeah. So I think the initial moment of when we realized like, okay, we're onto something here was the day that we launched, because the way that the product was selling, it was crazy. My husband, he even said to me, he was like, what is it about this oil that like you think women like, or why are they purchasing it? And I'm like, I don't know, but you know, we're just going to continue to keep our foot on the gas pedal and keep going. And maybe like a couple of weeks later, we still continue to get orders. So like sometimes when you are a new founder and you launch your brand on DTC, you may get sales for one day and then the next day you may not even get any sales. The next day after that, you may get a few sales that's less, you know, less than the first day that you launch. And it's an up and down roller coaster. For us, what made us really know that we were onto something, because every day we saw growth. Every day we've had a sale. From the day that we launched to now, 10 years later, we have not had a day where we have never had a sale online. And it always continued to grow. And so when we saw the growth and the momentum, our first employee was my mom. you know, we had to bring her on because we needed help packing and shipping out the orders. And, you know, the company just continued to grow and have momentum. And we knew that we were getting overwhelmed. We were becoming stressed. We couldn't handle the volume ourselves. So we knew that we had to delegate certain tasks. And, you know, customer service was actually one of the first tasks that we delegated because I was a customer service personnel. I was the marketing, social media marketing. I was the publicist. You know, Melvin, he was the operations. He was picking up the, we had at that time, jars of containers, and he would like actually scoop out the products with the spoon and put it in the jars, and he was packing it and labeling it. So we had this like makeshift operation in our kitchen, and then we moved to the garage, and then we started having like 18-wheeler trucks coming down to our subdivision, delivering our products to our house. At this point, we were in the garage. And what made us realize that we needed to scale and get out of the house was when we had a police knock at our door and say, what are you guys doing here? You have 18-wheeler trucks. We were disrupting the neighborhood because we had a business operation out of a residential subdivision. And when we had the knock on the door and they were inquiring and saying that we were disrupting the neighborhood, at that point, we knew that we had to take our brand and really take it serious, move up, find a warehouse and find employees to help the operation at that moment.
Yeah, I know it's like the brand founder story of so many of us. It's like you grab a friend, you grab a partner, you get a mom, like whoever's like closest to us to just like try to make it go. And like we all do wear so many hats at the beginning. Like we did the same thing. Like I was the international salesperson and doing customer service and doing social media. It was like all these things. But I think as you scale and grow, it's nice that we did those things at the beginning because we know a little bit about what everybody's doing and we know like the difficulties of their job because at one point in time, we were doing it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But it's so humbling.
It really is. And being a brand founder now, it's glamorized. It's exciting. It looks so fun. And it is those things. But there's also some other things that are, you know, the hard work behind it. So what do you wish you knew back then when you started? And are there any mistakes to avoid or things that you think would be helpful for aspiring entrepreneurs to know?
Yeah, I would say I wish I would have known how hard it would be to scale. When we were on the shelf at our retail partners, Sally's was our first retail. We really had to fight for our territory because you have these bigger, larger conglomerate companies that have bigger dollars. They can pay for that shelf space. And it's very stressful as a business owner because Sally's, they actually sought after us. They were very interested in us being on their shelf because they saw something very unique about our brand that stood out from everyone else that was on the shelf. And they were very intrigued by the community that we were building. But what we were not aware of is that once you get into that retail space, that space you're pretty much paying for, but not directly, but kind of like indirectly, because you have to pay for them to help market your brand. It's called trade spending. So you're spending marketing dollars to the retail, and you're also spending marketing dollars for your brand that's coming from, you know, your bottom line, or it's taken out of your bottom line, because you have to support the brand on your side. And so for us, one of the biggest mistakes that we made was not really being aware of the trade spend and not having the right people on our team that understood the retail space. And they were booking our trade spend incorrectly, and they were booking it under our marketing spend, which came from the companies on our business side. And it looked like we had more money to spend on the trade side when we really didn't, because it was booked incorrectly. And so it caused us to become not profitable. And that caught up to us very quickly because our cost of goods were also expensive. So usually when you are a new brand and you go in there, you negotiate your cost of goods as a small company, you may not get the best deal. You're not going to get the cheapest prices because you're a new company. They want to see how you scale, how you grow, and your minimums are not going to probably meet their requirements for you to get that price break. So for us, when we did start to meet the minimums and our volume started to increase, we never went back to our manufacturer to ask for the price breaks. So we were still paying high cost of goods of our products. The cost of goods were the same from when we first started, and we never had that price break. So as you can imagine, it was very expensive. And so if you pile that on top of our trade spend was not being booked correctly. And we thought that we had more money to spend and we didn't. We ended up spending what we didn't have. And it caused the company to not be in a profitable state. And that was something that we had to really work through. So I would say if I can give any advice, you know, make sure you have a good understanding of your expenses, what's going in, what's coming out. Make sure that you have the right people with the right skill set on your team. And as a new brand founder, like we didn't know. So we didn't know what to look for in a CFO, in an accountant. So if you can surround yourselves with other brand founders that's been down the path that you're trying to take, and just ask questions and also ask for references, also ask for referrals. There is no question that's a dumb question. And because we didn't know, it caught up with us very quickly and we were literally upside down. So, you know, now that we have a very profitable company, like we monitor everything that goes out because we went through that period where, you know, we know what it's like to not have. And so, you know, we're very conscious of that on this side.
And I think people think it's a dream to launch in a retailer, and it is. And it's so great to be able to be in places where you can get the product out to a lot of people. But you definitely do need to have the right team in place. You need to make sure you're prepared because a lot of times you only get one opportunity. And if you don't have the right team in place and you don't have the team to support it, then maybe the launch doesn't go well and then the brand drops you and then you really, you know, missed out on what could have been something great. So you really want to be prepared if you eventually go down that route.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you want to make a great first impression. And, you know, I always tell brand founders as well, like, don't be afraid to tell the retailers no. Like, we told one of the biggest retailers no, because we knew that we were not ready at that moment. And they came back the next year. And the next year we told them yes. But, you know, as a founder, you're like, oh my God, this is a huge opportunity. This is the biggest retail in the world. How can I tell this retailer no? If your brand is that great, if you believe and have that much faith in your brand, that your brand is going to be the top brand, they will come back when the time is right.
So I had a bonus episode come out last week all about egg and embryo freezing. And I had never gotten so many questions as when I was preparing for the episode that you guys wanted to know. If you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to it because there is a wealth of knowledge. And I know it can be really confusing. So that's why I was so happy that I got to talk to a doctor directly about the services that they offer. It was with Dr. Hancock and she had so much education and resources offered in the episode. In the episode, we talk about your age and when is the best time to go and when you should really consider things you can do to prepare ahead of time, the difference between egg and embryo freezing, what does it feel like? Does it hurt? What's the process like and the cost associated with it? And then what is retrieval and actually using the egg look like? And I know that it's so important when you're going through fertility treatments to feel like your doctor has your back. Spring will never make you feel like a number and you have a dedicated care team of physicians and nurses to guide you through the entire process. Spring Fertility is a full-service fertility clinic specializing in IVF, egg freezing, and third-party reproductive services such as surrogacy and donor tissue. Spring Fertility has locations in New York and the San Francisco Bay Area and Portland, Oregon. Spring offers a 0 down 0% interest payment plan for egg freezing to make fertility treatments more accessible for everyone. Spring really focuses on patients and never treats a patient like a number. Visit springfertility.com to book an initial fertility consult and share code Mariana when scheduling for $150 off your consult. That's SpringFertility.com and use code Mariana for $150 off your fertility consult. Cannot be combined with commercial insurance. Visit springfertility.com for more information.
What is one of the things that you think set you up for success that you're like, wow, like we really did this right. And I'm so glad that we took the time to do this or we really invested in this at the beginning.
Yeah. So I would say my community building was something that I felt that we did very, very well. Because as we came into this space, we literally disrupted the industry because I solely focused on connecting and engaging with people and being that relatable CEO where now people look at me as the girl next door. They feel like I'm their best friend that they can talk to about hair care. So I really focus on that community aspects and adding value to the community before selling them a product. I really wanted to garner the trust of the people that were supporting me because I feel that when you operate with integrity and they know your character and they trust you, that can help get you through some of the challenges, the obstacles that you may face as a business owner. So that was something that I felt like we did really well. The second thing I would say is our motto at Mayo has been slow and steady wins the race, even though, you know, it seems like we were an overnight sensation and we've had this huge success really, really fast. Our strategy has always been to take our time and to do things slowly. We're not in a rush to be number one, you know, when we first started. We're not in a rush to try to outdo anyone. Let's have tunnel vision. Let's stay focused on what we're good at. Let's use that as leverage. And let's be aware of our competition, but not be so focused on the competition where it subconsciously allows us to mimic what the competition is doing. So having tunnel vision and growing slow. So as I mentioned, when we had the opportunity to go into one of the biggest retailers, our competitors were there and they were killing it. And there was a temptation of, well, I want to kill it too, or I want to be this top brand. If my competitors are there, then we need to be there as well. But that was never my mentality. My mentality was, well, if we're not ready to be there, I'd rather tell them no, take our time, get to the point where we are ready. So when we do go into that space and that retail partner, that we blow it out the park. And that's exactly what happened. The next year that we went into it, then 2 years later, after being in that retailer, we dominated that shelf space because we took our time. So slow and steady wins the race. And I would say the third thing is to that analogy is that we were not so quick to take on outside investors and capital in the very beginning because we really focused on bootstrapping the company. We did not want to dilute our shares very early on. And that wasn't because someone told us that. It was just, I feel like it was a gut feeling that every time someone came to us with an offer they wanted to invest, we turned it down because we knew that we wanted to maintain ownership of our company. And when the time was right, we would know and feel it when the time is right. And we would take on those partnerships. And I'm glad that we didn't take on full investment until 2020. And our first investment was the New Voices family. And they took a very small percentage when they invested in us, which set us up to now have the private equity raise that we did in 2021 with Berkshire Partners. That was our Series A round. And it was very rare. It was a historic deal because it was nine figures. And usually private equity firms don't like to invest that much money and not have majority ownership. But because we had pulled ourselves up out of that unprofitable state and put us in a very profitable state where our EBITDA was like extremely good and we had such great momentum, the community was growing, our followers was growing, our sales were growing. We had made the brand so enticing that these private equity firms were chomping at the bits to be a part of the Mayo brand. It gave us a lot of leverage. And we were able to go to the table and dictate the terms of what we wanted in our deal. And we wanted to maintain majority ownership. And because we had such a great brand, they were willing to take that risk, make that investment because of the value that we had created. And we had majority ownership and they invested nine figures into our company. And it was secondary because we were so profitable. And then that set us up for now, you know, the recent acquisition that we did with Procter & Gamble in 2023, the beginning of 2023. And again, it was a historic deal because there has never been a Black woman that, you know, was able to negotiate the type of deal that we negotiated with Procter & Gamble. And it was a huge success and great return on investment for Berkshire, but it was because we did not dilute our shares very early on. So don't be so quick to take on outside funding. If you can bootstrap and be as resourceful and grind and be as scrappy as you can in the initial stages, because if you build and you build something great and you build something of great value, it'll pay off extremely well when it is time to take on capital.
It really did. And now you're at such a great place where you can do even more with the brand and like make all of your dreams come true because a partnership like this with Procter & Gamble or like when beauty brands partner with someone new, it just gives you so much more resources and ability to make the brand what you want it to be for so many years and decades to come. And I think there's like this misconception of how brands change, but it's really just giving you fuel to make it even bigger and better with you along the ride.
Yeah. And I see that like on the other side of this, like the opportunity, like I'm still on as CEO, like I'm still the visionary behind the brand. but the opportunities that have opened up have been like endless because of the support and the access and the innovation. The Black scientists that they have has opened up so many doors and has allowed us to increase our distribution, to create more accessibility for our consumers. The formulas haven't changed. It's a misconception as well that formulas change once companies are acquired. Like, you can read the bottles, the labels from back in 2015 and compare them to now, and they're still the same. So, you know, for us, it's really about, you know, having access to more. And when we do acquisitions and, you know, exits, that also allows us to give back to the community that has served us, the community that has served me to get to where I'm at today. P&G donated $10 million to invest in that community. So if I didn't do this transaction, I wouldn't be able to do more for my people.
Wow. I love all that you do to give back and help others. And I know that faith is such a big part of your personal life and how you show up for yourself. But do you have any other daily routines or non-negotiables that are really helpful? Because I know you mentioned at the beginning of the episodes, like being a mom, being a CEO, having the brand, like it's a lot that you do. But what do you do for yourself?
Yeah. So I'm really big on self-care and I have lots of non-negotiables. And one of those non-negotiables is I have to work out. I took the time to write a letter to my assistant, my executive assistant, on how to best work with me. What is the best way to work with Monique Rodriguez? And I put on one of her to-do lists is do not schedule meetings between 8:30 and 10 a.m. because that is my time to work out. So if I have the only person I'm probably going to answer the phone for during that time are probably my kids, and they're in school, so they're probably not going to call me. But if anyone calls me during that time, I'm not going to answer because I have to make sure that I at least dedicate an hour and a half to just working out and taking care of my body. And then I also like to get up early. I like to get up before everyone in my house and just take some time to just practice stillness. I pray, I read my devotional, and then I read the Bible. And I just sit there and meditate for about 5 or 6 minutes just to gain clarity for my day. And I feel like that sets the tone for my day. And then I take my daughter to school, and then I'm usually home by 8:30. And so that is my time to focus on like my body and making sure that I'm healthy. Because for me, true wealth is health. And if you don't have that, you don't have, you know, much. So I really focus and I'm very intentional about making sure that I'm practicing rituals and taking my vitamins, drinking a lot of water, minding my business so I can be a whole CEO for the company, a good wife to my husband, a good mother to my children. And it was so refreshing to hear my daughter tell me, and this is how you know you're doing a good job. Because I asked my kids, I'm like, how am I doing as a mom? Am I a good mom? Do you guys feel loved? Like, do you guys feel like you're getting enough attention? And my daughter, she tells me, she's like, yeah, we feel like we get a lot of attention from you guys. We feel that we're loved. And we know that you make the sacrifice of, if you have to go somewhere, if you have to go to LA and come back home the next day because we have a volleyball game or a cheer competition or whatever it is, and then you have to fly back to LA the next day to continue on with business, like we see you doing that. So it's like the sacrifices that I make, and even though I'm tired, for my girls to see that, yes, this is the sacrifice that mommy makes, and we appreciate it, and we value that you always put us first. And then even if you have to fly back to your business meeting the next day, like we feel that you make that sacrifice and we appreciate it. So I was like, oh, really?
I love that. I love that they're old enough now to like really see it and like appreciate mm-hmm. it. And that's really great. And I love that you can bring them along too. So I love following you on Instagram and like seeing your workouts and what you're posting in your lives. And so if people wanted to continue following you along, what's your Instagram? And if you had to give one product recommendation for people to try, where should they start?
Of course. And I like following you as well and seeing your routines and the books that you're reading. So right back at you. But if people want to stay tuned and follow me on social media, you can follow me at Exquisite Mo. It's spelled exquisite, like in the dictionary, M-O. And of course, on our business social media platforms, Mayel Organics. And then if I can recommend one product, that's a tough one, but I'm going to say it's our newest product that just came out. I am obsessed with it. I am so in love with it. It is our Rosemary Mint Scalp Scrub. And if you talk about wanting to have a squeaky clean scalp after you wash your hair, This is a scalp scrub that you can apply to your scalp, massaging your scalp. And then when you go under the shower and rinse it, it turns into a shampoo and it foams up and you can just wash your hair with that. It's so innovative. It's never been done in our space, but I am obsessed with that product because it makes my scalp feel amazing after using it. And anyone can use it.
Well, I'm all about scalp care and I love that everyone's like really talking about how important it is to our overall hair health. Thank you so much for joining us and I love learning from you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening and be sure to subscribe to my podcast and rate and review because it would mean so much to me. And follow me on Instagram at @Mariana_Hewitt to see what episodes are coming up next.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.